Well, today is the second Sunday of Advent. And Advent, of course, means coming. And so we are looking for the Advent, or the coming, of Jesus. And this morning we lit two candles, the candle of hope and the candle of preparation. I noticed as I worked with the kids, both yesterday and today, they have a little problem with that word, preparation. And of course, for younger kids, that's a big word. It's not in their vocabulary. But it's an important word. Preparation. The act of preparing. Making something ready. And I think we all understand that word, what it means, even if we don't use it very often. Let me give you an example. Christy, our daughter, is going to come home on the 22nd of December. At least that's the plan. And so, in preparation of her coming, we've made plans on how can we make it both to the Children's Christmas program that evening and to Omaha to the airport to pick her up. And so we've mapped out, you know, how do we get to Omaha, and if there's bad weather, you know, what are the alternate plans, the alternate routes? What can we do if her plane is late? What are our options? And then since we know that she's coming, we've made appointments for her with the doctor and the eye doctor and to help her to accomplish the things that need to get done in the time that she's with us. Oh, and we've made sure that she's got a bed to sleep in. And there aren't too many things stacked on it, so that by the time she gets here, we can empty it off and she can sleep there. And Connie's even been making some sweets and some things that she doesn't get in France or in Africa, so that she'll enjoy the things that are at home. And we've made arrangements to visit with more family and extended family. So all of these things we have been trying to accomplish before she arrives. We're not done yet. We're still preparing for her arrival, for her advent. And we hope that on the 22nd, we witness her advent, her coming back to Nebraska. Well, God did the same sort of thing. He planned, he prepared the way for Jesus. And it wasn't just all last minute preparations. He started way back with Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and God came to them and the snake in the garden, and he was talking with them, he said to the snake, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The first prophecy, the first bit of preparation for the promised one, the Messiah, the Christ. Throughout history, God has prepared his people, not just the Israelites, but us as well. We have the whole Old Testament, all the stories in it. And why are they there? To prepare us. If you read the stories in the Old Testament, they're the same thing over and over and over again. God is good to his people. And then his people say, that's not so important. And they stray away. And God says, come back. And they stray further and they ignore him. And finally, God says, all right, enough. Go your own way. Do what you want to do. But you will suffer the consequences. And then they do. And God punishes them. And finally, it gets so bad that their people come back to God and they say, God, help us. And he does. And he comes to them. And he saves them. He redeems them. And then they're good for a while. And then it happens all over again. And time again in the Old Testament, it happens over and over. And so God has given us all of those examples to prepare us so that we understand this is the way we work. This is how we wicked people work. And this is how God comes to us and redeems us. And all throughout history, he gave prophecies, little bits here and there that say, when the promised one comes, this is how you can recognize him. And so this morning in Sunday school, we got a couple of those things. You will be able to recognize him because he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But not just anybody in Bethlehem. He's also going to come from Nazareth. So this promised one comes from two different places. Oh, but not just there. He's going to come up out of Egypt. So God gave us those ways. He prepared the way for us. And then he said, I'm going to send somebody special. John the Baptist. The prophet Isaiah did a marvelous job. That keeps not working, doesn't it? Prophet Isaiah did a marvelous job of writing about this coming. And I want to read it for you. It's a beautiful job. It's quite lengthy. And as I read through it, you're going to recognize parts of it here and there. Some of you may be comfortable with the whole passage. But most of you, I think, will just pick out little bits and pieces here and there. Isaiah chapter 40. If you want to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's number page 714. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A voice says, cry out! And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up and do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or the breadth of his hand has marked off the heavens? Who held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it who taught God knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They're regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for even altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him, all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image Will you liken him? For an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold, and fashions silver chains for it. A person too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot, and they look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each one of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Preparation. Surely God has laid the foundations. He set out the groundwork. He teaches our place in his creation. He shows us his power and his majesty. He proves our weakness and our dependence. He guides us in the way that we ought to go. He warns us away from the ways where we shouldn't go. He encourages us to endure, to excel, to soar on wings like eagles, to run and not grow weary, to walk and not faint. And when the time was right, he sent his son, Jesus. The story continues now in the first chapter of John. And as you listen, understand that Jesus was the Word, the light of the world, the light of life. So now we're going to turn to the first chapter of John. It's page 1049 in the Pew Bibles. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He became a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He only came as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, yet the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to them who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified of him, concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke of when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who he himself is God, and is in the closest relationship with the Father. He, that's Jesus, made him known." Friends, what preparation are you making, and have you made, for the coming of Jesus? We're celebrating Advent, Christmas, something that has already occurred. But we look forward also in this time of looking forward to the second coming of Jesus. We don't know when that's going to be. It could be in the next few seconds. Are you prepared?